Allows us to stay connected, amen, with those who might not be able to be here. And of course, we got people all around the country that watch us, and some of our missionaries abroad is watching, so we're glad to be able to do it, amen. Pastor Mark and Miss Margaret are out. He called me yesterday, and he said, man, would it be putting pressure on you if I took off today? They were trying to take one more motorcycle trip before the season ends, because, you know, he's been going more regular to go see and take care of his mother in Florida, but he saw the weather that it was supposed to be raining today, so he said, we try to get out of town and get ahead of the rain a little bit. So I said, no, go on, enjoy yourself, and so that's where he's at. He'll be back with us soon, and again, taking care of his mother, and y'all all understand that, praise God. So keep them in your prayers, and as they're roaming the countryside in the motorcycle, praise the Lord. Everybody all right this morning? We are glad you are here. I tell you, we look forward to Sunday service all week long. We pray for you regularly, believe God with you, and believe the best is yet to come. Amen. I believe the Word is making a difference in your life. And we of course, continue to hear good testimonies about things that are going on in your life. And we're just glad to partner with you. Amen. How many of you are glad your kids are in school? Anybody glad your kids are in school? I know some of you like to have them around. That's all right. Our middle grandson started school this year, so Christina's got one at home now, and so the other two are here. But I saw this morning, I thought it was good. You know, the middle one is in kindergarten. So this says a kindergarten teacher was observing her classroom as the children drew pictures. The teacher would occasionally walk around to see the child's artwork, and as she approached one little girl who was working especially hard, she asked what she was drawing. The little girl told her, "I'm drawing God." "But sweetie," the teacher replied, "no one actually knows what God looks like." Automatically, the little girl continued drawing and said, "Well, they certainly will in a minute." Praise the Lord. You like those little ones. I go out to see my little ones at lunchtime every day, and they get out there about 10:45 or so, and so I'll go talk to Judah, go talk to Jeremiah, and visit with them a little bit, and see what they're eating, see what kind of good, healthy thing their mother's giving them, so I can go get them some pizza or Chick-fil-A or something. But I went out there the other day, and one little girl in Jeremiah's class was eating cottage cheese on her pizza. Yeah, that sounds disgusting. But she was enjoying every bite of it, so more power to her. Gotta love those little ones, amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to continue this morning on a message. I believe this is part four where you and I have been together, but this is being called Selected and Protected. Thank God for His protection. Thank God that He chose us, and because He chose us, it's His desire to protect us, to keep us. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? And so we've spent three messages already looking at that, so we encourage you to go online, catch up with us. All of that's available on the website or on YouTube, Facebook. You can go back to any of those places and catch up on those messages. But we just want to continue on with that message. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." How many of you know that according to Scripture, he can't just devour anybody he wants to? He is a predator, and he's looking for a prey, but somebody say, "He may not on me." See, the Bible says, "Seeking whom he may devour." Well, that's why the Bible says that we must resist him. And, of course, we saw in 1 John 5:18, this is kind of our key scripture, 1 John 5:18 says, "He that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not." Somebody say, "He can't touch me." Say, "Oh, Pastor John, I wouldn't say that." Why? I'm saying it for his benefit, right? Listen, I'm not a superstitious guy. I'm not one of these guys that, you know, knock on wood when you, you know, I'm just quoting the Word. And the Word tells me that he has no authority in my life. He can't touch me. He can't have any part of my family. Why? Because according to Scripture, he is seeking whom he may devour, and he may not in my life. because I'm going to resist him. I'm going to stand against him. I'm going to use the word. We're going to do all of these things. See, that's what we're doing, is when the Bible says, he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. The important thing is that you keep yourself. See, if it says, whoever is begotten of God keeps himself in order that the wicked one touches him not, it's important to know, okay, what are the steps to keeping myself? And so that's what we've been doing. We've been going through Scripture and finding different things. And of course, this is not an exhaustive list we'll go through, just some particular things that I believe the Lord has laid on our heart. But number one, we saw that it's important to make the Lord your habitation. Make the Lord your habitation. Psalm 91:1 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank God. And so we spent some time looking at that. Isaiah 32:18 says, my people will dwell in peaceful habitations, in secure dwellings, and in a quiet resting place. And so again, make the Lord your dwelling. Number two, we saw it's important to fear God. Fear God. Now that's different than getting into fear. Fear God. Psalm 31:19 says, how abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, who take refuge in you. Amen. Thank God for that. Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied. Now watch this. He shall not be visited with evil. Well, that's keeping yourself, isn't it? That's staying protected. Glory to God. Then we sort of left off with this one. It's important to stay out of fear. Stay out of fear. And of course, the particular area that we spent a lot of emphasis on last time we were together was talking about in regards to your family, in regards to your children. It's important to stay out of fear. Don't get into fear when it comes to raising them. And don't get into fear when it comes to them leaving the house. Amen. We talked about a number of those things. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, how many of you believe that scripture? Do you believe it or not? Well, if you believe it, then you can rest in the fact that if you have trained them up in the way that they should go, then when they're old, they'll not depart from it. In the Passion Translation, it says, dedicate your children to God and point them, show them, lead them, guide them, direct them in the way that they should go, and the values that they have learned from you will be with them for life. Well, I like that part. The values that they have learned from you will be with them for life. You know, one important value that I left with my kids that Matthew got a hold of was the value of appreciating the great state of Texas. And so he appreciates alongside of me the great state of Texas. And so he's a Longhorn fan, he's a Cowboy fan, and he enjoys going and seeing his ma and pops in Texas, and he enjoys good barbecue, and that's a good value that he laid hold of that's going to be with him for life. Christina, not so much. She didn't grab a hold of that. Matter of fact, when she went out to Bible school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, for a short period of time, she became an Oklahoma fan. We won't talk about that, but for a short period of time. But no, as we go through life, you know, there are values that we teach these kids that are with them for life. You know, I know here in the school, Jeremiah was talking about this yesterday at Judah's birthday party, but you know, here in the school, Miss Rachel is teaching them about respect and being a gentleman. And so he's having to learn how to do all those things. I don't know exactly what all they're teaching him, but opening the door for everybody.
Pulling the chair out for the women.
Pull the chair out for the women. Yeah, those are good values. Those are good things to learn. Good values to have. And so as we're raising our kids, all of those things are important. But how many of you know one of the greatest values that you can teach your kids and leave with them is the importance of reading the Word, the importance of being in church, the importance of having a devotion time? Come on now. Those are the most important values you leave with your kids. I mean, I applaud you. You're here today with your family. One of the greatest things, one of the greatest examples that you can leave for your family is to be here. I said, you're here. You made it. It might have been a challenge. It might have been a struggle, but you're here. You're worshiping God, and you're leaving your children values. Glory to God. I like in the Voice translation, it says, even when they're old, they'll stay the course. They'll stay the course. Now, there might be times when it didn't look like, I know when these kids went to college, there were times when Sheila and I had to set our faith to, my children are taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. We had to stand on the word because at times it didn't look like it. Well, thank God, they're both right here. They're both serving the Lord. Amen. Come on now. Don't you lose sight of that. Don't you, just because things look like you might not want them, don't you lose heart. You keep trusting God. You stay with what the word says. Isaiah 54:13 says, all of your, see, what are we talking about? Don't get into fear. Don't get into fear. Isaiah 54:13, all of your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Did you know what? I think we said this last, and one of the very last things we said was fear acts as a magnet in the spiritual realm to attract the very thing that you fear. So don't get into fear. Remember, we saw that about Job. You know, the Bible tells us in the first chapter of Job that Job got into fear about his children. And actually, in verse 4, it says, and Job's sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, now watch this, what does Job do? That Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. In other words, he was making sacrifices for every single one of them. For Job said, it may be. Somebody say, it may be.
Maybe.
Not that it was. Not that it already happened. He said, for it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. So what was Job doing? Job was offering sacrifices for his kids just in case they did something wrong. So it's another way of saying that he did it out of fear. Oh God, I'm praying for them. Oh God, I'm offering sacrifices for what they may do against you. You can't live your life that way. I said you can't live your life that way. You know, whenever it came time for these guys, especially I remember Matthew when it came time for him to start driving, he wanted a Jeep. You know, we told the kids they can get whatever they want. You know, show us, tell us what you want. He wanted a Jeep. And so I found a Jeep. We went and looked at it and I said, now son, this one's a stick shift. And so I said, you're going to have to learn how to figure this thing out. It's not like driving a regular car. And he said, well, I want this. I said, you're going to have to drive a stick shift. And he said, I'll figure it out. Well, I took him for a few rounds around the block and we went out to a church off in the country and showed him how to do it. And we got back to the house and I said, go. He goes, but it's a stick shift. I said, go. Go on. Figure it out. And that's pretty much the way it happened. I showed him. You know, I took the top. This is how it works. Here's how the engine is. You know, when you drive by stick, you're really driving by sound. Anybody that's ever driven a stick, you know that. You know, you're listening to the engine. You're knowing when to shift and all that. And so when it came time, you know, we got back to the house. And I said, okay, go. He had his license. And I said, go. Take off. Well, you can get into all kinds of fear. Oh, God, what's going to happen when he gets out of my sight? When he goes around the corner, there's a ditch over there. There's an oncoming car. What about if a deer comes in front? What about if he, what about? Well, you can live your life in the land of whatabouts, or you can just trust God. Huh? And listen, it hadn't been perfect. He got hit by a semi. Anybody remember that? Yeah, he got hit by a semi right there in Chattanooga, just going towards 75 towards Atlanta, right there as you make the split there. Got hit by a tractor trailer, hit him. Well, he was protected. He's right there. Huh? We had insurance. The Jeep was fixed. Anybody ever been in a car accident? Anybody this week? You still good? She's here. Miss Teresa had a accident this week. She's protected. So yeah, but she was in an accident. But she's here.
Bruised but
she was protected.
Bruised but not crushed.
Bruised but not crushed, Sheila said. See, we're talking about staying in faith. We're talking about believing God, not getting into fear. So that's what Job was doing. You know, fear is the devil's doorway into the life of the believer. And actually, you know the scripture, but in Job 3:25, later on, it says, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Verse 26 says, "For I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." Anybody ever been there? Sleepless nights, not knowing what's going on with your kids. You know, especially when they go off to college and you're not seeing them all the time, and you're not there, you know, when curfew time comes and you're not hearing from them. You have to place your trust in Almighty God. Maybe your kid went to school for the first time. You're entrusting your children with a stranger. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay at home and wring your hands? Maybe you have a business and you're entrusting employees to take care of your business for you. It doesn't matter what it is. You can't get into fear. You have to find scripture that applies to your situation and choose to believe God. Amen? But here's the point. In 1 John 4:18 says, "For there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment." You can't get into fear because the Bible says fear has torment. Now, you know what torment is? This will help you understand. Torment is dread. I was thinking about this word, and actually, if you'll turn over to Matthew 8, we see this word torment. Because if the Bible tells us fear as torment, what is it talking about? Well, in Matthew 8, verse 5, it's talking about the centurion servant. So in Matthew 8, verse 5, it says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." There's that word torment. Well, when you look up this particular word, torment, here, he's talking about his servant that was experiencing paralysis. His servant was paralyzed. Anybody ever had that? Thank God I've never had that sensation or never been in that position, but you know, apparently whenever somebody is dealing with paralysis, it just misery and fear grips you. Thank God I've never experienced that. But here's this man that's lying there and he can't feel his entire body. And the Bible says that he was grievously tormented. See, fear has a way of paralyzing you if you're not careful. Causes you to think irrational thoughts. Causes your mind to go places it shouldn't go. Now again, we've been kind of talking about your children, your family dealing with situations like that. But you know, you understand that when the Bible says that he was grievously tormented, according to Scripture, fear can have a paralyzing, tormenting effect on the body and the mind. So you got to stay out of fear. We had a minister's retreat at Dollywood, Pigeon Forge, stayed at the Dreammore Resort a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whenever that was. And so everybody went to Dollywood that day. And so I like roller coasters, but there's certain ones that I'm not a big fan of. They've got one over there, and I don't know the names of them, but the one that's like you're flying, the eagle one. And so, you know, your feet dangle down. And so a number of years ago when they first came out with that ride, I got on that thing. Well, you know, it has a big, big thing that comes down on top of you and locks over you, and your hands come around, you hold on to it like this. And so you know, we went through the ride, and it was fun. I enjoyed it. But without realizing it, I tensed up so much that I'd pulled that thing right against my chest. And so at the very end of the ride, you know, it comes down, and it swoops down, and it stops. And then it's like it catches, but you're not at the end yet. And so while it's waiting on people to unload, you're just sitting there, and then it'll move up a little bit, and then it'll move up a little bit. But without realizing, I had pulled it so tight that I was hyperventilating. Now you ask Sheila, probably one of the only times that she's ever seen me have a mini panic attack was in that moment, because I felt like I couldn't breathe. Like that, it was like I couldn't catch my breath. And of course, you can't move it because it, you know, it pulled it tight. And so, I mean, this, it's like fear came on me. And for that split, now it felt like 5 minutes, but it was probably more like 10 seconds that we were sitting there, if that. Well, when we went to Dollywood the other day, we got on a ride, and just because of that experience that time, I'm not a big fan of these. Now, if they strap you in this way, I'm good to go. If they have something that holds you in or locks over your legs, but something about having that come over your chest. Well, we got on one of these rides, and we got on there, and this thing locked down, and I looked at the guy, and I said, hey, this thing's too tight. Well, he came over to me, and he pushed against it, against my chest. He goes, no, it's good. I said, get me off. Like all in a moment, I said, get me off then. I said, if you're not going to fix this, get me off. Get me off. Get me off. Well, it had actually started to take off. And the woman that was sitting there, because they, you know, usually there's two of them crossed from each other, and they had both given each other a thumbs up, and I'm like, no, get me off this thing. And so I said, get me off. And so she said, okay, she hit the button, it stopped. And I said, if you're not going to adjust this, get me off. So they lifted it up, and I got off. I refused to allow fear to have a grip on me. Now listen, if you like those rides, you like the exhilaration, you like all of that stuff, that's fine and dandy for you. Enjoy it. Sheila loves it. All these kids, they love them. I like certain ones. I like the ones you get on with the kids, you know. If the kids can get on it, then I'm great. I love it. Well, you can't allow fear any place in your life. Because the moment that you do, the very thing that you've done is you've allowed him access into your life. Are you with me? Just as the force of faith goes to work to bring about the good things God has promised you, fear, when activated, goes to work to bring about that which is dreaded. Remember, Job said, the thing which I feared has come upon me. See, the devil would love nothing more than for you to be unable to raise your children with clarity of mind. See, what happens is you get to a situation where you're void of rational emotion. Do you know your emotions will lie to you? Your emotions will tell you things that are just not true. We talked a lot about that last time. We talked about how your mind will take you down a road that you just never imagined. Well, where did that come about? It comes about as fear. You allow fear into your life, and it'll take you down those roads. Your fear has power to bring about destruction. And so it all comes down to don't give the devil any place in which to operate. Submit. James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist fear. Don't ever allow fear place in your life. We've said it a number of different ways, but we need to stay close when it comes to God, within the covering of His protection and care, living a life of submission to God, continually resisting the devil's attacks and lies, especially when concerning your family and your children. And so 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself whether you be in faith. See, it's important to take stock. It's important to evaluate your life and say, hey, have I allowed myself to get into fear? What is this? If you're having a check in your spirit about things, find out, is this the Lord leading me? Right? Because as spirit-filled, born-again believers, you can trust your spirit. You can trust your conscience. So if you have a check in your spirit about something, then go with it. Trust God. Be led by the Spirit. Amen. I love, many, many, many years ago, I heard Keith Moore say, the answer to 1,001 questions is be led. Be led. But don't be led by fear. Amen? You know, there are scriptures that talk along these lines of follow your peace. If you have peace about something, then go with that. Amen. Mack Hammond said, only when you are free from fear are you truly in a place where the enemy can't touch you. I like that. Only when you are free from fear are you truly in a place where the enemy can't touch you. And then, of course, you know the story of Jairus' daughter. Look over at Mark chapter 5. He that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. Mark 5:22. It says, and behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my daughter lies at the point of death. I pray you come lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. Now, the Bible tells us that if you will, he was interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood. You remember that story, so we'll not spend a lot of time there. But so as he's walking, then the Bible says that Jesus went with him and much people followed him and thronged him, and then this woman comes up to him. So after the woman with the issue of blood, we pick back up, and it says in verse 35, while he was yet speaking with the woman with the issue of blood, there came a ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, your daughter is dead, why trouble the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. In other words, in that very moment, they said, your daughter's dead. Jesus said, don't you change your way of thinking. What did he say? He had already told him. He said, Lord, he said, I pray, come lay hands on her that she may be healed and she may live. That's what the Father said. He said, Jesus, if you come and lay hands on her, she's going to be healed. They come and say she's dead, and the first thing that Jesus says is, don't you change your way of thinking. Don't you get into fear. He said, fear not, only believe. It's always interesting to me that verse 37 says, and he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John. And then, of course, you know the story. The Bible says that she rose up. She got off the deathbed. It's important to have people with you that are going to stand with you and not get into fear. Hey, listen, when it matters the most, kick them out. Worry about hurting people's feelings later. But if you're facing a challenge in your life, maybe a dire circumstance, I want somebody around me that's going to believe God with me. I want people that are going to stay in faith and believe God. Fear not, only believe. The way you respond to negative reports and words determines the outcome. When it comes to your family, the finality of those words oftentimes marks the end of your faith. Think about this. If this father in this particular moment would have said, oh my God, it's too late, she's dead. She would have been dead. He wouldn't have received. But in that moment, he heard the word, Jesus. I said, Jesus. He was still with the word. Jesus is the word. He was still with the word. In that moment, he was with the word. In that moment, he was still with the word. So that when a negative report came up, the word said, Jesus said, fear not, only believe. Oh, see that comparison there. Don't lose sight of that. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word, so when a negative circumstance comes up, you stay with the word. You stay with the word. What does the word say? The word says, fear not, only believe. And thank God he stayed with the word. And because he stayed with the word, then he didn't allow the enemy access. The finality of those words oftentimes marks the end of your faith, in this particular case, forfeiting the healing of his daughter. You see, they said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the master anymore? What's the use? Why trouble the master anymore? Well, because we have a higher authority. Oh, I thought you'd get excited about that. We have a higher authority. Death isn't the end. A report of cancer isn't the end. A report of, oh, we can't do anything to help you, that's not the end. Oh, but this, it always ain't nothing. I said, just because they say always don't mean nothing. What does the word say? Let God have the final word in your situation. You see, Jairus made the choice to reject negative thoughts bombarding his mind. And you better believe. See, the Bible doesn't talk about it, but you better believe whenever he heard, oh, don't trouble the master anymore, your daughter's dead, you better believe those thoughts came. All in an instant, they were bombarding his mind. Oh my God, what are we going to do? It's too late. You should have come early. You should have done this. You should have done that. But Jesus looked at him and said, don't you believe, or don't you fear. you only believe. Amen? Sometimes you got to pull yourself together and grab yourself by the shirt and say, just believe. Just believe God. Say, well, that's easier said than done. No, apparently not, because this guy, you know, I mean, does it get any more final than your daughter's dead? I mean, seriously, does it get any more final than that? And yet he chose to stick with the word. He stayed with Jesus. And the Bible says that she was raised up. Oh, thank God. I said, thank God for that. Amen. So don't allow fear to enter in. Listen, you are the lifeline to God's best for your children. Do you know that? I said, you are the lifeline to God's best for your children. Don't ever allow fear and worry and doubt to steal God's best for them. You're the lifeline. And let me say this, God is faithful. I said, God is faithful. There's a story of a father who ran to his son's school to check on him after a powerful earthquake hit the area where they lived. And when the father arrived at the school, he found nothing but a pile of rubble and debris. As other residents stood by crying, this father began to dig. People told him it was useless. Anybody ever had you tell you it was useless in your situation? It's useless. Other residents stood by crying. This father began to dig. People told him it was useless. See, their kids were in the same pile. It's useless. He began to dig. He kept at it, stone by stone, beam by beam. He dug through the night and into the next day. Finally, he heard a voice say, Papa! As he furiously continued to dig, he eventually saw the face of his young son. The child spoke up and said, I told the other kids not to worry because you told me you'd always be there for me. The father was faithful to his promise. Listen, that's such a great example of our Heavenly Father to us. We can confidently stand without fear because God is faithful. And whatever He promised you, He will fulfill. Just like this father digging. There's situations in our life where God is digging. He's helping. He's seeing to it. He's keeping. He's protecting. And it might not look and sound the way that you think it is, but He is at work in the background keeping you safe. Why? Because He is faithful. I said He is faithful. God is faithful. What does that mean? He is constant in the performance of the promises that He has made. God doesn't fail. God doesn't forget. God doesn't change. God doesn't disappoint. God doesn't forsake. God doesn't abandon. That's not our Heavenly Father. No, God's always there. In Paul's second letter to the Thessalonian church, he says this in verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you. Somebody say, I'm kept. In the Passion Translation, it says, He will hold you up and guard you against the evil one. Oh, thank God. You know, during His last few hours before He was crucified, Jesus was praying to the Father in John 17:15. He said, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil. See, this is the fourth message, every message we've been saying, that He's after us to keep us. Keep, keep, keep. He that is begotten of God keeps Himself. What does it mean to be kept? It means protected. It means protected. It means protected. And so in John, he says, I pray that you should not take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. How many of you know the easy way out would be just say, Lord, just take me to heaven now. Oh, it's been so hard. Just take me to heaven now. Get me out of this mess. Well, that'd be the easy way out. You got a lot of work to do. It's too early. And I can confidently say that with everybody that's in this room. It's too early. It's too early. Don't even think about it. It's not time to go. You got much work to do. So don't you give in to fear. Don't you think, well, it's just the end. Oh, it'd be so much better if I just went on. That's a lie of the devil. And he wants nothing more for you than for you to just buy into that nonsense. Well, it'll just be easier if I just wasn't around here. I believe I'll just go on to heaven. No, you won't. I'm not going to let you. Pastor Mark's not going to let you. We're going to keep you here. We're going to believe God with you. You're going to receive your healing. You're going to receive your answers. Because God is faithful. He is constant. He's always here for you. Did you know you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to be free from evil anyways? Come on now. That ought to excite you. Yeah, we're going to face temptations. But those temptations don't have to prevail over you. Because the Lord is in the keeping business. He's in the business of keeping and guarding that which belongs to Him, that which He values the most. You see, if He's keeping us, according to Scripture, if He's keeping us, then He is preserving us, He's protecting us, He's guarding us. You know, I grew up with baseball cards. You know, baseball cards were a popular thing. I don't know if they still are now, but you know, when I was growing up, my grandma, every time my grandma would come see us, she'd bring us a pack of baseball cards. And so that, you know, because grandkids expect when you show up that you're there to give them something. I mean, reasonable, but because that's pretty much what happens. But when my grandma would show up, she'd always show up with a Hot Wheels car and a pack of baseball cards. And so, you know, I grew up with baseball cards. And man, I enjoyed looking at them and collecting them and got to a point where I would buy the box sets of them, you know, because I don't know if you, anybody know about baseball cards? You know, they're actually, on the back of the cards, they're actually numbered, like 1 to 500 or whatever. And so you know, if you look at it and you flip it over, anybody know what I'm talking about? So you could actually collect the whole set of baseball cards. And so, you know, we would, when my grandma started giving us these cards, we would start collecting the whole sets. You know, that's where you trade around. Well, I need number 2 or I need number 425. You know, most of the time it wasn't about the numbers, it was about the player. You know, I need Matthew Mathis. I need Matthew Mathis's baseball card. And so you might trade for a Terry Longworth card. You know, I give me a Terry Longworth card, I'll give you a Matthew Mathis card. So your whole goal is to collect this set. Well, there's particular cards in those sets that are worth a little bit more money than the others. And so we would take those cards and we would put them in a sleeve. Because, you know, you don't want those cards getting damaged. Because the minute they get damaged, they're not worth as much money. Well, I remember, I didn't collect basketball cards as much. I collected the baseball cards, but I remember years ago, back in the late 70s, I think it was, the basketball cards one year, they came out with a perforated card. And so this particular card had perforated in the middle. So it was actually 3 cards in one. And so in the late 70s, you know, this particular card, I believe it had Magic Johnson on it and a few other guys. And I remember my brother and I were fighting over the cards, whose it was, and so I believe my mama took that and she just tore it right down the perforation. And then she wrote our names on them. Can you believe that woman would do such a thing? Well, you protect what is valuable to you. So you take it and you put it in a sleeve and you don't play with it, right? Well, God is in the protecting business. He's interested in putting a shield about you. He's interested in making sure that you're protected, you're preserved, that no evil comes to you. I can't remember, did I talk to them about when Christina was born and your mama? I can't remember if I said, you're going to hear it again. I think it was at the church I was just at. But when Christina was born, Margaret, of course, we're in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Margaret flew out there. And so Christina was born, and she was in the hospital there at St. Francis, the big pink hospital, if you've ever been out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so, anyways, you know, they had all the security measures and things and to protect the family and the kids and all that, but when Margaret got there and it was time for nighttime, you know, they sent me home, go get some rest. Well, Margaret stayed in the room. Well, when she stayed in the room, she shut the door and then she put the dresser next to the door, maybe a chair next to the door. And I mean, she barricaded that door because she didn't want anybody coming in and getting her grandbaby. She was determined to protect that grandbaby. Well, You protect that which you value the most, don't you? There wasn't nobody coming in that room except Margaret know about it. Well, there's such thing as keeping yourself and not getting into fear and protecting what's most valuable to you. How many of you would say your family's most valuable to you? That you have a responsibility. Don't you allow yourself to get into fear for one single moment, because God is faithful and He will protect and preserve and guard and keep that which is most valuable to you, because it's valuable to Him. Are you with me? God is faithful. Somebody say, God is faithful. Oh, so much we could talk about. You know, when you go into Proverbs, look over at Proverbs chapter 7. We'll see if we can close here. Proverbs chapter 7. Actually, if you go back through the first part of Proverbs and you start looking, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, they all start with instructions to a son. Instructions from a father to a son. And so in Proverbs, you see, you sort of get this conversation of a father talking to a son about, if you'll do these things, you'll reap the benefits of these things. And so in Proverbs chapter 7, it says in verse number 1, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live, and the law as the apple of your eye." In other words, God is telling us here, if we'll take His word and do what His word says, then we will live an abundant life. We'll live a fulfilled life, a protected life. I like so much in Genesis 28, we don't have time to go through the scripture, but you remember the story about Jacob's dream, Jacob's ladder. You remember the Bible talks about a ladder that was going to heaven and angels were coming up and down on the ladder. Well, just real quickly, you know, in this particular passage, Jacob is on the run from his twin brother Esau. You remember that? He had manipulated his brother Esau into giving up his birthright as the eldest son of his father Isaac. And so go look this up. This is Genesis 28, starting with verse number 11. But in verse number 15, everybody stand to your feet. Listen closely. In verse number 15, the Lord tells him, He says, "Behold, I am with you. I will keep you in all the places where you go, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken of." Did you get that? How many of you know Jacob missed it? Jacob missed it. He manipulated his very own brother. Anybody ever missed it? Hold up a hand if you've ever. It's all right. Because every hand's going to go. If your hand, you lying dog. If you're not raising your hand, you probably missed it this morning somehow. Don't you point a finger at Jacob. I can't believe Jake. I can't believe Peter denied Jesus. Really? Let's open up your book. So here's Jacob. Jacob's missed it. Jacob's on the run. Jacob's sleeping out under the stars on a rock. He has this dream, and in this dream, the Lord speaks to him and He says, "I'm with you." He says, "I'll keep you in all the places where you go, for I will never leave you until I have done that which I have spoken of." Listen, He's going to keep you, He's going to protect you, and He's never going to leave you until He's done with what He called you to do. Until you have fulfilled your purpose, it's not time to go. It's not time to get into fear. Yeah, things may show up on your doorstep. Doesn't mean it's the will of God. Challenges may come up right before you leave this auditorium. Doesn't mean it's the will of God. The Bible tells us that temptations must come. Must come. Well, that's not fun to hear. That's not fun to talk about. Say, well, that's not very encouraging. Well, it ought to be, because the Bible says that He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to let you be out on your own. He's not going to say, well, just figure it out. I'm busy over here. What's the title of our message? Selected and Protected. He's chosen you as His very own. The Bible says that you are His special treasure, chosen before the foundation of the earth. And because He chose you, He's going to protect you. But how many of you know, just like it's raining outside right now, anybody come in with an umbrella? It doesn't do you any good to keep that umbrella all wound up and put into your pocket. If it's raining outside, you got to undo that thing. You got to put it out, and you got to stay under that umbrella to make sure that you're not getting rained on. Here's His umbrella right here. His Word is His umbrella. His Word is your protection. And as long as you do what His Word says and you stay under the umbrella of His protection, you have nothing to fear. You make the Lord your dwelling. You trust God. You fear God. You don't get into fear when it comes to your family. And when you do that, then the Bible says, he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches you not. He doesn't have a place in your life. So if he rears his ugly head, you just kick him away. Say, nope, not here. Not giving you place. Not in my life. Not in my family. No, we're going to trust God. Oh, somebody lift your hand and say, Father, I trust you. I trust you. Lord, you're my redeemer. Lord, you're my protector. I'm your special treasure. I'm your favorite. And because I'm your favorite, I know you're keeping me. Oh, just shout about it this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You are faithful to perform in us that which you said you would do. You would never leave us nor forsake us. Never abandon us. Never turn your back on us. Even when we miss it. Even when we feel like we couldn't do any worse. Oh, glory to God. The Bible declares that even while we were in the midst of sin, He gave His life for us. Well, that's not a license to sin. That ought to give you boldness. It doesn't matter what you come across in this life. You can always turn to Him. We've been saying it so many different ways, but there's always a way back to Him. There's always a way back to Him. Thank God. Thank God. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes for just a moment. Maybe this week there's something that you've encountered, a decision you made, a choice you made. Wasn't the right choice, and you know it. So because of that, you don't have confidence before God this morning. There's a bit of guilt and shame. Well, the Bible says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. The Bible says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So you say, maybe I missed it. Well, just ask for repentance. Just repent. Ask for forgiveness. Say, Lord, forgive me. I missed it. Be bold enough to say, Lord, I missed it. Anybody miss it this week? Anybody need forgiveness this week? Then that's just between you and Him. Just lift up your voice right now and cry out, Father, I missed it. Lord, I ask You to forgive me. You said in Your Word that if we would confess, if we would declare, if we would own up to the mistakes of our life, that You're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness so that it's like sin never existed in our life. Oh, thank God we can start anew this morning. Before you walk out those doors, you can start anew. Oh, thank God. Thank God. He's faithful. And He will do it. Oh, thank God. He will do it. He will do it. He will finish that which concerns you. So don't you quit. Don't you give up. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You got anything? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is faithful. He is good. He's ready to do good things for you, so don't you quit this week. Stay out of fear. If a negative report comes, get in the Word. Stay with Jesus. Stay with somebody that's going to stick with you and believe with you. Amen? Glory to God. Well, one more time, say, He is faithful. Point to your neighbor and say, He is faithful to you. And you are dismissed this morning. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Amen.